Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It is your boy Brandon.
What's up? This your boy Sam.
Hey man, we are back with another episode, man. A victory episode, because that seems like all we do lately, man. We don't even know what losing feels like anymore. You know what I mean? All we do is win, 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 no matter what. So, Sam, I'm actually gonna throw it to you, man. You may have caused a little bit of problem because you said you didn't know how to feel about the win. Now, we're going to dive into that in a minute. But I guess before we get there, I believe I called what was going to happen last week with the Jaguars and in Kansas City. Like dead on. And, that's exactly how that went down. We got bad Trevor and Chris Jones wreaked havoc. That's kind of basically what I saw, how I saw it playing out.
Right. It was not better to get in the end zone when you're down there seven times. It's like very frustrating stuff, man. Very frustrating stuff. Not better to get in the end zone.
Just don't feel good. You know what I mean?
But you know what I will say about the Jaguars, though, to be honest with you? I know a lot of people left like disappointed. I really wasn't that disappointed in the results of the game because I was like, you know what? We don't have Cam Robinson right now. Our right tackle, Ricky right tackle, got baptized by all pro.
It looked bad.
Yeah. And I was like, but you know what? That defense was good.
The defense has been consistent. The defense is definitely good.
That tells me now, I think the offense is going to get better as they get some of the pieces back. And once they get the pieces back, I think that team's going to be good. So I when Cam get back, I think they're going to be better because you get Cam. Walk a little, probably slide in the guard, and then I think by that time, by week 17, 15, I think that right tackle will be good. They'll be rolling. Yeah. I think that's how Doug looked at it too, because he wasn't too worried about it either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, I agree with all of that, man. I think Jaguars gonna be fine, man. I didn't feel good about that game last week.
Dude, let's touch on before we get to the game, because I mean we still got some people kind of coming in, so. Dude, this like polarization of like the Colorado Buffs, it's like amazing to me, bro. Have you been watching this?
Deion has made Colorado Buffaloes the most polarizing team in college football in 3 weeks, and I find it to be hilarious to me.
Bro, you either love them, or you're a coon, or you're a this, or you're a that, and it's like you can't have no in-between conversation with
It's real strong opinions. Like, it's like... real strong opinions. I get called from my dad in the middle of the week. Do you know what Deion said? I ain't even been looking for Deion. What he said, "Pops, I don't have a clue what Deion said, nor do I even care." No, you gotta understand, Deion said. I was like, "Yo, it's not even just like a racial thing. It's like demographics. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's demographics.
People older have somehow decided that they don't really mess with Deion. Like my pops and his buddy. Yeah, they don't rock with Deion. I don't care what Deion do. They could have won by 100 yesterday. He was gonna find a reason to hate why they won by 100. Well, he got 86 players. Of course, he's supposed to win by 100. Brandon, what you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, if they hate it, they hate it.
It's polarized. Like crazy, man. It is. I found that to be so interesting yesterday. Like, you know, and I another thing I want to talk about before we get to the game, so I'm just waiting for some more people to come in. Did you see Ryan Day go off on Lou Holtz?
Hey man, apparently it's coaching wars going on. Like coaches have decided we can get our stuff off whenever we feel like we need to. Again, I thought the comments at halftime with Lanning was weird. Like it's when they say it's personal, It's personal. Like, everybody is taking college football games real personal. You can't say nothing about anybody. You can't talk, like, don't criticize the team. People, everybody keeping receipts. It feel weird, man, but I love it. I love it. You know what I mean? Everybody keeping receipts, apparently. Like, I don't, listen. Hey, I love it. It's fun as a person who don't have, like, a dog in the fight, but yeah. Geez.
But it's so funny to me because I'm like, Ryan Day, the only reason people call it your team soft is because Michigan keep running down on y'all. Like, that's why people are saying that. Like, and then why you got a problem with a 90-year-old man? Like,
having a problem with Lou Holtz is crazy. Bro, Lou Holtz got kicked off the show because he stopped making sense. Bro, and now and that's the person you want to beef with? Well, that's
bro, crazy. When he see Lou Holtz, it's going to be on site, bro. I hope if he
yeah, no, it definitely felt like it.
They need to put a picture of Ryan Day at every old folks' home, bro, to make sure he don't come through that, bro. Because if he see Lou Holtz, it's going to be on site, bro. Like, that shit is crazy.
Nah, they got Ryan Day on the watch list. Yeah.
These coaches, man. And I you know what? I like the fact that all these coaches kind of like, you know, like even with the Landon thing, I found the Landon thing funny because he's like, oh, we're going to show him. This ain't Hollywood. This ain't okay, bro. Why you didn't show Georgia that last year?
Again, everybody expected, like, nobody expected anything different from that Colorado Oregon, and not with anybody with any real sense. Because again, I knew that was coming, and it's coming again next week. For those of y'all don't know, it's gonna happen again next week. Just, you know, prepare your minds for it.
The only thing, like, I will say, next week I think it might be a better game. It could be a closer game. Like, maybe they can get to 21 because it's Alex Grinch defense and.
Yeah. USC, they'll score a little bit more points.
Might score a little bit more points, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. And I found Dion comments to be even funnier because Dion was like, you know, hey, man, he's a great coach. He did a great job. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. And he was like, you know, y'all acting like these coaches acting like they playing against me. I gotta go with Jacket. Like,
and what's funny is he right though. Like, that's the thing about it. Like, these coaches are taking this stuff personal. They don't like the hype. It's a lot of animosity between Dion and these coaches. And they feeding it into the players. College football has been the most exciting I have watched. Like, I've watched more games this season than I've watched in the past. All the games is fun. All of them got different storylines. They figured out a way that somehow, and every game has somehow figured out how to tie it back into Colorado. Like, every time a game is played, they have somehow figured out how to tie it back into Colorado.
The media does that. What do you think about the prime effect? What do you think about the prime effect? And I know that does have to be somewhat irritating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do. You know, like, I know somebody just put DM be talking crazy. I don't know what he be saying crazy. All he tell his team to do is go out, dominate. You know, it's old school stuff.
Yeah, it's who he is. It's Dion has. I told somebody Dion is the same dude who took a limousine to the combine. I don't understand what y'all expect from this man. Like, he has been doing this stuff for like 40 years.
You know what though? To be honest with you, bro, America does have a problem with brash Black Americans, bro. This has been consistent. Cam Newton, Deion Sanders, Jalen Ramsey, like. Anytime
you better be humble. You better be good and humble. Yeah.
Yeah. They want you to be good, docile, and humble. You know, but when you great at something, they don't want you to say shit about you being great. Like, you know, like even like LeBron told the people, well, okay, I lost the finals, but you know, y'all can go back to y'all regular lives.
To y'all broke lives. Yeah. Y'all still broke and I'm still rich. Yeah. That's what LeBron told him. I love that speech. That was the greatest speech I'd ever heard. Because it was the only real moment. Because, you know, LeBron always buttoned up, you know what I mean? He gonna say the thing and everything. So when he told them folks, man, y'all still broke. Nah, how about that?
You know, but they do hate the brash, you know, African American dude. Like, you know, it's funny to me because you can see people like Kirby be on this, like, oh, I'm finna mud stomp everybody and everybody's in our way, and he's rah-rah himself with his program. And you know, I've seen Pete Carroll was kind of like the same way. He was like a real big time set promoter when he was in college. Yeah. Spurrier, brash. Always talking shit about Spurrier was directly attacking coaches and their programs. Like, hey, what's the most points being scored in your stadium? Okay, that's what we're going for. Like,
right.
And nobody, everybody like, oh, that's the old ball coach. That's funny and that's giddy and we love it and that's cool. But, you know, you see somebody with a gold chain do it, you know, I guess it make everybody feel a different kind of way. I don't know, man. But It is some dynamics going on in college football that I absolutely adore right now.
Yeah, it's again, like I said, it's been a fun season, man. It's been a fun season. But let's get in it, man. We 10 minutes in, man. Florida State 31, Clemson 24. They have finally gotten over that hump of Clemson. They've lost seven straight against Clemson. Mm-hmm. Good win, man. But I understand there's some questions that you might have had with the win, man. So I'm gonna leave it up to you, man.
Let's say this though first. Let's say this first.
Okay.
You have to check off boxes to become a great team, right?
Yep.
So you have to beat the teams that you normally haven't beaten, right? And you have to play great on the road. You know, you have to play, you know, you have to win games on the road. You know, you have to keep mm-hmm. checking those boxes off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so overall, I think it was a great win. Like, I'd be like, I look at the game, like, okay, that's a good win. You beat LSU, good win. Beat Clemson, good win. You know, I think the problem I'm having is I don't see Florida State as a cute program. You know what I'm saying? I don't see, like, when I watch Colorado win a game, I'd be like, oh, that's cute. Colorado won a game. You know what I'm saying? I don't care mm-hmm. how they win. I don't care if they win it by the other team fumbling the ball 16 times. Like, oh, that's a cute win by Colorado. If I watch, like, I watched Georgia Tech beat Wake Forest yesterday. I'm like, that's a good win for Georgia Tech. It's very cute. You know, they weren't perfect. They beat Wake Forest. I don't see Florida State as a cute program. I see Florida State as a national powerhouse program, right? So if you tell me this team is going to dominate, this team is going to be a Final Four participant, a college football playoff participant, because it has national championship aspirations. When I look at it in that prism and I judge it by that prism, I guess that's where I'm kind of confused at when I'm watching the games, right? When I see, I can deal with you playing a great game and another team playing to your level of a great game, and now mm-hmm. it's a great game, right? Like, mm-hmm. like it's been mm-hmm. times where Georgia would lose to Alabama, but it was a great game where they going at one another, executions at an all-time high. And you like, okay, these some, you know, one of these teams, whoever win this game.
It's a heavyweight fight.
Yeah. It's a heavyweight fight.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, other than that second half of the LSU game, I haven't felt that way about the team. So going into the Clemson game, I was thinking, okay, everybody's going to be healthy. Everybody got, they've probably been game planning for Clemson for at least 2 weeks, I'm thinking, maybe. And then you watch the game play out, and I'm like, I don't know. These teams can look in the mirror. They kind of look like each other. You know what I'm saying? They don't look like top five, top seven, eight teams. When they, you know what I'm saying? They don't look like both of them wasn't executing at a high level to me. You know what I'm saying? Then offensively, our team, and I think the problem with our offense and people keep saying, well, we're not playing our best game. We're not playing our best game. I don't know if that offensive line that we have, the way it currently is constructed to be this explosive juggernaut offense against great teams, against good teams, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I do think they need Robert Scott back. I do think they need to kick Byers in the inside and probably move Scott and put Bless and Scott at the tackles. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Be honest with you. I think this team is being held back on offense by the offensive line. So when I say I don't know how to feel about it, I don't – what kind of adjustments is Florida State going to make where they can actually squeeze an opponent out and put an opponent to sleep in games, right? That's kind of what with it. You know, you can't – and I think the other thing is you can't go a full week talking about a game. And if you sit on the phone or you sit in the chat group or you sit on spaces or podcasts, say, oh, FSU is so much better. We got this guy better. We got that guy better. We got this. Oh, we're going to beat him by 20 points. And then you get to the game and you watch the game play out and you go to overtime and then you say, oh, a win is a win. Well, is it? I mean, I don't know. Like, where we at with this stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I agree, right? So a win is a win. Like, win, and again, win. But what you're saying is we're not judging this team based off the same criteria as we judged this team last year. So last year, we judged this team off of wins. Just, man, I don't care how you win it, ugly win, close win, look bad, just win, because you haven't had a lot of wins. You needed to build up some confidence. You needed to build up momentum. Right. Now we're judging them off of championship expectations. So right. we don't look at the games as, okay, yeah, we won. We look at the game as, how is this going to help us get to a championship?
Right.
So when you look at the game, I remember looking at the game probably midway through the third quarter and thought, this is not a championship team. And regardless of what was happening in the game, I'm just looking at the execution, the little stuff that just does not happen with this team consistently. Again, slow starts. I couldn't figure out what the game plan was to start the game. And it's happened a lot of times, not just this season, but in the past. Like, what were we trying to do?
Right.
The runs. We just took the momentum back from Clemson. We up 24-17. You come out with two runs with Hill after you just gashed him in the air. Like, it's confusing to me to see a lot of the things that I'm saying, this should be easy stuff. Like, this ain't – like, this is just simple. Again, it's – what is it? Fourth quarter, 30-second, 40-second, whatever it is. Yeah. You needed 8 yards to get a reasonable field goal attempt and leave no time on the clock. Instead, right. You ended up in the 4th and 10, and now you got to try to make a play. Like, it's just, again, those are things that championship teams just don't do. And so when I look around, so when I look at this team, I say, man, I'm glad for the win. It keeps our goals that we have in place still in place. Right. So I'm happy for the win. Don't get me wrong. But as you project forward and you say, okay, Miami got a good passing game. They got a decent quarterback who's finding his rhythm. If Miami somehow comes into that game undefeated, Miami's going to be playing with all words of confidence, a quarterback who's playing good, and some young guys who have all emerged. Duke has a good passing team, and they beat Clemson. You know what I mean? You start projecting forward, and you say, how do we fix some of these issues? Again, man, the defense is great situationally. Like, when you need a stop, I really do feel like this team will give you the stop you need.
Right.
But just as the game goes on, man, it's times where I'm like, why do we let Clubman go 9 for 9 at one point? He was 9 for 9 at one point. Dude ain't that great.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm like. Those are the things I think when Sam talk about, and he's saying, great win, but I have questions though. Like, that's because I feel the same way. Man, I'm glad for the win. I think it was a very good mental hurdle game. I tweeted that out. You got to get over the mental of beating a team that you haven't won 7 times against. There is a strong mental thing that goes on to it. I think we saw it last week with Tennessee and Florida.
Right.
Sometimes it's literally mental. Hey, we ain't beat this team in a long time.
Right.
How can we beat them this time? And so you play a little tight. You play a little rough.
I think had we played Clemson in Tallahassee, Tallahassee, like, I don't know if that game is any different. Like, it's almost like you watching them play.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about road. Let me clear. I'm not talking about road away. I'm talking about just you have not beat this team 7 straight times.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a mental block of, dang, do we think we can get it? And now you face a little bit of adversity in the game, and now it's like, oh, shoot, don't tell me it's happening again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I think the win is a good win. It's not a bad win. It's a good win. You know what I'm saying? But I think, and then I seen somebody just put in the chat, they were saying, well, you know, you watch the other top 5 teams, no one's perfect. You know, all mistakes and everything. Okay. But when you watch these for instance, Georgia last week, apparently they were struggling with South Carolina, right?
Yep.
The second half, Georgia decided enough was enough. They didn't allow South Carolina to score another point. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay.
As their offense found the rhythm and continued to click and click and click.
Teams don't have these sputs.
What do you call the little dry spells where you just have no idea what the offense is doing.
And I think another problem with it is, and I do think, you know, Clemson is these ACC teams in general are underrated football teams. That's just a fact, right? Because I think North Carolina should probably be a top 10 team. I really do. Like, if you watch North Carolina, like, they come out, and other than the Appalachian State game, which for some apparent reason, they always have a hard time at Appalachian State, but other than that game, they come out and they squeeze opponents' throat and they end them before the fourth quarter. Like, they are up by 10, 14 points by the end of the game. And I do think Clemson's a good football team. I find it weird that they couldn't pass the ball for three games. And then all of a sudden, Clemson looks like Deshaun Watson reincarnated. You know what I'm saying?
that is my problem.
Yeah, so I think
that's my problem.
The plan, and we've blamed DB coaches, we've blamed linebacker coaches, we fired DB coaches, we fired linebacker coaches. It's just a weird thing when you watch it. You know, the team doesn't feel dominant. It feels good. It feel like he got some good players on it. They do some nice things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel dominant yet. And I blame most of that, to be honest with you, on the offensive line. I think Byers, maybe he was a great player where he was, but he hasn't been great at tackle so far this year.
No, not at all.
And I think that's holding a lot of the offensive line back. The Trey Benson thing, I know people keep saying Trey Benson need to run better, but man, at the end of the day, dude, I got to be honest with y'all, that's who he is. Like, he come out against Virginia Tech and probably run for 150 yards, three touchdowns. Be amazing. But he play against Florida, it's going to be 25 yards again. You know what I'm saying? Like, he play against Miami, it's going to be 27 yards. You know, it's like, against, if he don't have a great offensive line in front of him, he's not going to be great. He's not going to make the most yards out of every play. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. You think Benson is more a product of Jordan Travis? Like, in other words, I've looked at the offense and said the problem with the offense is Jordan Travis don't run no more. And it makes the offense completely different. Jordan Travis's ability to run the football really kept defenses on their heel. So now you never knew, because Jordan would keep maybe 3 out of 5. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd give 2 and he was keeping 3. So now you're looking and you're saying, okay, why he ain't keeping none,
right?
None. You know what I mean? Like, he kept 1 yesterday. Well, then that's you're no longer a running quarterback. That now they everybody's triggering in on the running back. If you just keep 1 early, it allows that running game, in my opinion, to open up. I think it's also the problem with the offensive line. Like, I believe Jordan Travis is, again, there was a fourth that third and, or maybe a first and second and 10 or something like that. They ran the bootleg. Jordan Travis had 15 yards in front of him. Not a soul in the picture. He throws that pass to Johnny every time now.
Right.
Why not take the 15 easy? Right. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't even risking that's not even risking injury. You could have took 15 and walked out of bounds, go back in the huddle for the next play. Like, I'm confused at, I believe Jordan Travis right now is the stalling point. I don't believe it's the offensive line, because I believe when he's running the football, it makes it better as well. I'm looking at these games and I'm saying Jordan Travis is right now what's the problem with the offense. I also think he's not been as accurate as he was against LSU in these last few games as well. He's not throwing, again, those deep balls, they're 50-50s, but he was giving his wide receivers much better opportunities to come down with those 50-50 balls than he is in these games. Like, Keon Coleman's catch because Keon Coleman is great. Yeah, but that wasn't a good placement on that football.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, I don't even know if you complete that ball if Nate Wiggins don't hurt his ankle.
You know,
because he was
– Well,
was
maybe constant. You do. Maybe well, you do. Because, again, well, maybe, but, I'm going to give Keon Coleman the fact that he is okay, that nigga. So, but, I when you are that dude, it's difficult to kind of look back and say – you know what I mean? It's difficult to look back and say Wiggins was going to win them all. Even the best DBs don't win them all.
I mean, but he was winning 85% of the motherfuckers, though, during the game. Like, he won a lot. Okay, so my thing is – and I'm not – this is my thing. And I said this. And this is why I said that Johnny Wilson probably is not some first round, second round NFL wide receiver.
Right.
An NFL cornerback is not afraid of you throwing jump balls. They're like, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to knock the ball. I'm going to put my arm through your hands and knock the ball out as you come down. Right? They're going to do that at all times. Like, that's what NFL cornerbacks do. It's only one wide receiver in the NFL right now that's winning jump balls, and that's Ja'Marr Chase. And he ain't winning a whole lot on right now because Burrow not putting them up where they need to be at.
But I guess, and this is what I want to, why are we jump balling? Like, I'm so confused at that offense. Like, it really is unimaginative.
But you know something,
and it is, again, you're talking 50, it's how you end up with those quick three and outs, throwing your defense back on the field.
But you know, because you throw so many 50-50s, you're able to get that stop and go route that Johnny Wilson ran. Remember he ran that almost a stop. Like he was going like a stop and run post. I mean, run fade out or whatever.
Yeah, the fade.
And
yeah.
he came back in the inside. Right. Mm-hmm. So the offense still sets up certain plays. And that was a great red zone play. That was a great touchdown throw by Jordan. You know what I'm saying? It was amazing. Like it was a good play call. But I think I'm not going to complain about the offense because this is what the offense is. And I do think
I agree.
For Norvell then to take the next step, and I'm talking about winning that championship and these things, because I think right now I would firmly supplant us in the area of, and where I was at the beginning of the season, just win the ACC championship. Just get to the championship game, win the ACC, win the conference. Mm-hmm. Because I do think he needs better O-line play. He's gonna have to recruit at a better, at a higher rate on the offensive line to get what he want to get at. And I'm not saying that to be dismissive because I'm not being dismissive, but everything about this offense is keyed off of running that counter and being able to get those backs going to make those linebackers and safety step up and give you a better opportunity for one-on-ones. Without that, you see guys. Clemson played five in the box for the most part. And just put guys in
three-man rush.
Yeah, and put guys in coverage and said, okay, you want to throw these jump balls? We're going to put a safety over the top, and we're going to knock the ball out of his hands. You know what I'm saying? So this offense is based off getting that counter running, getting that counter going, getting those linebackers and safeties to step up. That's the offense. And that's bro, you can win a lot of games like that in the ACC. You can win a lot of games, but if you don't have elite O-line play, I do think it tempers down what you can really do when you play against really good defenses. You know?
Now let me pivot though, because I don't want to sound like, because you know, yeah, they do got to win the ACC. That is the most important goal. I don't feel like they can win a championship, which I did feel like they could, you know, before. Mm-hmm. That don't mean they can't get in the playoff. I'm still looking at, you know what I mean? I still look at the schedule and say they should beat everybody they play. Like they will be favorite to beat everybody they play the remaining of the season. They should win every game, which means that, and right now they're in position. So they should still get in the playoffs if they win, if they take care of business, no matter how ugly or sloppy or terrible we may think it is or how bad it looks. They still, and I still think that, like, that hasn't changed.
Right.
I'm talking about how much of an improvement, what steps can you make to improve enough to where if you do get on the field with Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, USC, Penn State, Ohio, like Georgia, what does it look like against those teams? Because again, that's where I'm at. That's what I'm looking for. How do we measure up against those teams? Because again, you're favored to beat all. You will be favored to beat all the teams you're playing against. You will have a better team than everybody you're going up against the rest of the schedule.
Right,
you should
beat
Virginia Tech. You should beat Duke. You should beat Miami. You should beat Florida. Like, you are better than those teams.
Right.
What does it look like when you play a legitimate opponent? You know what I mean? And that's what I'm confused about right now. You know what I mean? And again, I'm not saying they won't get there. They may figure it all out. I agree. Somebody said that play that Keon, that first touchdown to Keon, great play design. I don't know why we don't have more, like, inside the red zone. Mike, it seemed like he's gotten really good with those, you know, play call with those passing plays in the red zone to get touchdowns. Which is great. But it's just from 20 to 20 outside, and in between that 20 to 20, man, it feels confusing a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, Jordan's dropping back on first down and throwing a Hail Mary. Well, that puts you in second and 10. You know what second and 10 coming? The counter. You know what I mean? Like, you know it's coming. Like, it's becoming very predictable. You know what I mean? Here's the counter. All right, well, now we in third and 10, third and 11, and we throwing, what we doing? Another 50-50 ball. Like, when the offense looks like that, it doesn't look good. And you're not going to beat any good teams playing that way. And so what we're talking about is, how do you get to the place where this offense is progressive? And we just haven't seen it yet. And I've put it on. I've kept saying I can't. It's hard for me to believe that. I know me and you said disagree on this one. It's hard for me to believe that Mike is calling 50-50 jump balls every play. So that leads me to believe that this is Jordan Travis saying, I'm better at these 50. I think this is what we can do to win. And he's missing all the underneaths. Where's Winston Wright? Where's Destin Hill? Where's your slot receivers? Like, those guys gotta be winning a lot of these matchups, in my opinion, especially when Clemson is down their two best DBs. So where are your slot receivers that should be making plays? Right. Keon Coleman, the running backs, Johnny Wilson, and Bell are the only people catching passes.
Yeah.
you got a lot of talent on this offense. Let them guys get the ball. Like, and I don't know. Like I said, I'm hoping they figure this out in the bye week. And that, you
well,
know what I mean?
Think they do.
Because again, my whole thing has been betting on the offense. The offense should be unstoppable. If the offense is unstoppable, then we can kind of, we understand what the defense is for the most part.
Right.
The DBs aren't that great. They just not. Linebacker group, we got one really, really good one in Deloach, in my opinion, and a decent one in Bethune. Like, he's going to make some decent plays. I think that D-line,
it just depends.
You know what I mean?
It just depends.
Like,
on the
it really does. That's it. That's what I'm going to say. Like, when they, if they, they'll look great against Virginia Tech, probably.
Yeah.
They may not look great against Miami or Florida. You know what I mean? Like, it really is going to depend on if they're playing against good linemen.
And I think the team, I don't want to say that because I don't want to put candor and conjuncture and all this other stuff out there. So I'm going to say this. I do think the team is trying to form an identity.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to form an identity. All right. So you're 4 weeks into the season. You're trying to form an identity. My only problem with that is that this is an older team. You're not a young team. You're an older team. So your identity should kind of, you should kind of know who you are and what you are and what you like. You should know what you're finna go to win games. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna offer a little bit of pushback on that. And this is why. Because you have so many transfers. You have a lot of transfers, and so it may take a minute to find your identity, right? Like, again, we saw last week there was a lot of, you know, fighting between the wide receivers and whatever it is. Looking back on it, I can see how you can have that fight when you bring in a Keon Coleman, right? And you've never coached a Keon Coleman. Mike hasn't. Jordan Travis has never thrown to a Keon Coleman. Like, you've not had a difference-making first-round NFL talent on your team. So I can understand how it can be a little confusing as, oh, no, we have to force-feed him the football. Listen, I hear what y'all said about Bethune. I see a lot of people, again, okay. You know what I mean? Like, y'all said the same thing about Fabo. A lot of say the same thing about Verse 2. I'm just saying, like, you know, the play on the field dictates what you are. That's my opinion. Yeah. But I can look. I'm going to give a little bit of, all right, maybe they will find it out. You know what I mean? Maybe they're figuring it out on the bye week. And I do think this Clemson win, getting over that mental hurdle, does say, okay, man, we got a stretch of some easy stuff going on. Let's do it. You know, let's do it. So maybe they'll figure it out. Again, I think Jordan did a better job of making sure Keon stayed in the game and stayed in the Florida game, which allows him to make the touchdown at the end. I thought he did a good job finding Johnny when he felt like he needed a pass because he wasn't comfortable throwing it to Keon. I figure out better ways to get in bail the ball, and please figure out ways to get to other receivers the ball as well. And if Jordan don't want to run the football, I think this running game will be what this running game is.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think this is going to depend on the offensive line. I think they're going to have to take a hard look and say, hey, I think, like I said, I think you can put Bless at tackle. I think you need to move Byers inside. Because this, what's going on between Keandre Jones and Meech, it's just not good play right now. It's just not. It's not good play. Yeah. You're substituting both of them. You're going from average to average when you're substituting. You're going from average to average. So I would move Byers in there, man. I really would. I'd move Byers in there. So, and I think that you need to go ahead and put Scott, when we get Scott healthy, put him back at tackle. And I think you'll have a better chance of being better. Because you say it's the quarterback. I think Jordan's limitations has always been his limitations. I don't ever think he's been I just don't think he's been. Now, him running, I think does need to happen more. But the only problem with Jordan and running is anytime he get hit, it's like, bro, we don't know if the season's about to end. Anytime he get hit, I don't know if the season. Sometimes when he slide, I don't know if the season's going to end.
You got to let him play, though. But I feel you. You got to roll with the dice. Like, we saw this. What was that? What season was that? I remember 2 seasons ago when Jordan decided he wasn't going to run because he was, you know what I mean, we had nothing behind him, so therefore we were scared. Like, I feel you, but Jordan, he got to run. Like, the offense is predicated on it. If he don't want to run the football, it really does boil down the running game, and it makes things different. And again, why in the world would I throw up a try to make a throw on the run out of the bootleg up the sideline when I got 15 guaranteed yards? You get what I'm saying? That's the part that I'm confused about.
But
what's his name said that that Clemson and LSU is better than Ohio State and Penn State. I'm not sure how that is.
I just think that you have to judge the team. I think this team is the best team Mike Norvell's ever coached. Okay. It's one of the best teams we've had here since probably what? 2014. I'd say 15. I don't think
15, maybe. I'm not gonna argue 15.
I don't. 15. I was just saying. I don't 14. Think this team is as good as 2014. I don't.
Oh, they're not. I don't think they're as good as 2014.
Yeah,
but you're saying the best team since.
But I guess what I'm thinking, because even when people keep talking about 2014, I'm like, go look at those games in the second half. Those teams would come out and say, okay, enough is enough. All right, you had fun the first half. You know
that
what I'm
was
saying?
The switch I thought that this team had. When I talked about last week, I thought this team had that switch where they could just turn it on, put it away, go play ping. You know what I mean? Go play Pac-Man on the sideline. Like I thought I would see it this game. And again, granted, it's Clemson. Like
right.
I don't want to take a lot. Again, it's different because I do think Clemson is very good. Like I don't want to take away because Clemson, I believe, loaded with 4 and 5 stars. They showed the graphic on Twitter or whatever of how many blue chips they got.
That is a good football team.
So Clemson is a very good football team. You know, so I understand why you may not be able to flip the switch and put away Clemson. Maybe we'll see. I don't know. You know what? That's where I'm at. And that's terrible. I don't know. I really have no idea what this team is. You know what I mean? I think this team could be really great.
Yeah.
But I also could see this team, you know what I mean? But I don't know. You get what I'm saying? Like, I really don't know. What I do know is they got over a hurdle. I'm happy for it. They beat Clemson finally. That's a rivalry under your belt. He is now beating all three of his rivals. He's beating Clemson now. He's beating Florida. And he's beating Miami. That's what you got to do in order to keep your job. That's what you need in order to recruit well. So I'm happy for all of those reasons.
Right.
Again, what we're talking about, how do we get to a championship? I want to win a championship. ACC, national, whatever. I want to win the championship. How do we get there? And I think the things that me and Sam are pointing out is that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Team is not 15th to 16th this year. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I think
unless you're talking about Clemson. I don't think Florida State's 15th, 16th.
I think Florida State is a top 10 team easily. And I think it's some good pieces on this team. I guess my thing would be, when you tell me you got a first-round defensive end,
he's not.
Okay, but I'm just saying what people say. If you tell me you got a shutdown cornerback from Virginia, if you tell me you got a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, and you got two guys that could be potential Biletnikoff Award winners at wide receiver, you know.
That's true. You do have a.
Well, yeah, so if you're saying these things, I think the funny part to me is, I don't come on Twitter or Facebook or on the podcast and be like, I want to sell positivity, you know, when we first created the show, I wanted the show to be like, analyze games and the things that we be more analytical about, the things that we talk about. Right. And, properly rate the football teams. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And how we talk about the team.
Right.
So, If people like tune into the podcast because they want to hear how great Florida State is, okay, man, Florida State's great. Mike Norvell's the greatest coach of all time. All this other stuff, okay, that's fine. But show me. I want to see it. Like I want to see it. Like I want to see you come out and squeeze an opponent to death and put a team away. Like I watched Texas yesterday play against Baylor. Baylor was getting everything they had that first half. Second half, Texas put that shit to sleep. Like okay, enough. All right,
and we can execute
you to the ground. And
like,
I guess
it looked like we was about to do that. And then you go with two runs with Hill out of the blue after you just gashed. That's what I mean. Like, I don't know if that's a I don't know if it's a coaching thing or if that's a
I think it's a team thing.
You know what I mean?
I think the floor of this team is lower than we thought. But I do think the ceiling is still what we think is at. I just think the floor is a little lower than what we thought it was.
Correct. I think they got, like in other words, they could play a really bad game and lose. I didn't think that at first. Yeah. No, listen, this is not about Hill. This is about the play calling at the time. You know what I mean? This is about the play calling at the time of the game. I agree with you. Like,
yeah, Farmer's actually been, I think Kobe said, Jacoby McDaniel was talking on Twitter. He said he thinks Farmer's been our best D tackle.
Oh, that's not even close.
I don't think it's close. But I think Fisk has been really good. Like, I think Fisk has been really good, to be honest with you.
Fisk is a very fun high motor. Like, when they talk about high motor guys, yeah. He fits that description perfectly. That from the moment that snap go, he got a quick get off, and he is he's constantly moving, He's a good guy. I think we actually seen Fable play a little better. You know what I mean? This game, I think he's not fully 100%, and he's definitely not in football shape yet.
You said that every game.
Yeah, but I'm saying in other words, last all the time. Yeah, but this game was the first game I think we actually had a chance to see him. Like, he made some plays early on. I don't think he's in football shape yet. You know what I mean? But I don't think he's in football shape yet. But I do think he's in a but I do think he may be a little better as the season gets later on. We'll see.
Yeah. And I think people are complaining about the defense. You know, I think the defense is what it is. I expected for this offense to be exceptional. It's just not very exceptional right now. And I think that's holding this team back, because I think when this offense can get ahead and allow this defense to blitz and come from different ways, the defense can create turnovers and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
But the offense just got to get better, man. I think if the offense can get better, which I think it's on the offensive line. I think the offensive line is going to dictate the type of season, because – I know you want to run Jordan Travis, and I would like to run him too. But, man, every time he get out the pocket and start running, he do that ditzy-do stuff, I get afraid. I'm like, man, please do not tear your rotator cuff. Please do not tear your ankle up. Like, just get the 5 yards and slide on the ground, man. And sometimes when he slide, it looks awkward too. And I'm like, oh.
Because he's not a slider. He ain't. Yeah. I understand it. Again, I just need him to run. I believe I agree as well. I think our season – determined or is based on how well this offense plays, and in my opinion, I think this offense is really relying upon Jordan Travis either running the football or making better decisions when throwing the football. But either way it goes, I think Jordan plays better, I think this team plays better, and we win games. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the one time we see a complete game will be the offense. Yeah, that's when we'll see a complete game, because then you got long drive, you got teams putting up points, you got the defense getting stops, because again, situationally, man, I really do feel confident. Like fourth and short, they gonna stop you. Like, they've been pretty good at that.
He has a good plan for getting the team off the field on third down in the second half. And a lot of people are saying, why don't he blitz like that in the first half? And I honestly believe the reason why he don't do that is because he's trying to hold something back for the second half. So I think there's a method to why Fuller doesn't blitz a lot in the first half, and then he throws the damn kitchen sink in the second half. I think there's a method to that, right? There's a reasoning for that. You know what I'm saying? I think he wants to see the protection that they're going to use against certain formations. I think he wants to see the type of protection they're going to use against certain stunts. And I think once he figure out what they're going to do in that first half against certain looks and stunts and formations, the second half, you see a boatload of blitzes from corners or delayed blitzes from your linebackers. And I think there's definitely a method to why Fuller isn't blitz heavy in the first half, but he is in the second half. But I think
it's also why the defense looks better in the second half.
Right. But I think the problem is, and I keep coming back to this, You supposedly have a first round pick at defensive end and another ascending player at the other defensive end spot, and you got two guys in the middle that are really good. You shouldn't have to use 6 and 7 players to get the quarterback on the ground. You shouldn't. They need to play better.
Not with the D line that you supposedly had brought in this year.
They need to play better.
You should be able to get pressure with 4. And here's the funny thing. They will get pressure probably against Virginia Tech. They'll get pressure against Wake. They'll get pressure against a lot of these bad teams, which is great. You know what I mean? So I do think they'll look good against Wake. I think they'll look good against Virginia Tech.
Right.
I think they'll look good. The problem is, will they look good against Miami?
I never forget.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, Miami has a really good offensive line. Will they? Yeah. How will they look against Miami?
And I never forget. You know, we talking about the Jaguars earlier, and Doug said something about, you know, we got to get to the quarterback better. He said this in the offseason, and then he said during the season last season about this. And his answer wasn't, we need to bring more players in here. His answer was, the guys that we drafted, the guys that we have signed, need to play better. They need to play better. Like, some of this stuff ain't always coaching. Some of this stuff is, hey, man, you're supposed to be this guy. Be the guy. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's coming to save you. Like, beat the guy. So I think a lot of times we have to kind of ease up and say, okay, what is it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think they need to play better. So the hype is over with all these teams now. Everybody kind of have a clue on what these teams is and isn't right now, right? We kind of mm-hmm. know where Alabama is now. They don't have good quarterback play right now. So they're going to grind out every football game they play. Georgia, in my opinion, I mean, I think they're the second best team. I think Texas is still the best team right now. And I think UNC is probably top five, top 10 team. It's a lot of good teams. Florida State got to get a better. The guys that are well thought of have to play like they're well thought of. Keon Coleman is playing great right now. He need to keep playing great. Johnny West is playing pretty good. He need to keep playing pretty good.
Verse, I thought he had a really good game yesterday.
Yeah, Verse need to take another step. Like, be who they say you are. Be that guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me touch on Verse real quick. Because I know a lot of people say Verse is a first rounder, right? When we're talking about first rounders make impacts. They disrupt games. They cause problems. Verse is not causing enough problems. It's not the fact that he's not playing well. He's not. He is getting double teamed. He absolutely is. I've seen team guys beat double teams. We watched a guy from Clemson, three-man rush. Beat a double team. So it's not like it ain't possible to beat the double team and get to the, you know what I mean, get to the quarterback. He's not playing at the level in which he was hyped up to be. It's not that he's playing poorly. It's not that he's getting double team. He is just not playing to the level in which he was hyped up to be. And if you're telling me he's a top 10 pick, if there's no double team of college football players who should be able to stop him. There's no deal. He should win a lot more than he loses, especially on singles. On single coverage, he should win those every time. Right. And when he's doubled, he should win some of those as well. You get what I'm saying? So, and I agree. Whoever said you got to move Verse around, I 100% agree. Like, if they double team, hey, man, stop. Switch him around. Move him around to a different spot. I agree with that. But so, and the part of that, and that's, again, we asking Fuller to think outside the box. And I don't know if that's really his strong suit. So, so when we talk about Verse, we're not saying Verse is a bad football player. He's definitely needed versus not having him. He's just not playing at the level in which he was hyped up to be right now. And
I always say this, man. I need you at your best when we need your best. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I be at with players that's supposed to be great. You know what I'm saying? Like, people got mad at me because I dogged Trevor Lawrence like the first six games of the season last season. You know, I'm like, hey, man, I need you to be who they say you are when we need you to be that.
The prince who was promised, man.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, bro. Like, that. Nobody. This whole thing where people want to coddle these projections that they have. Like, if you, bro, I told my son the other day, he said, Dad, why you want me to be perfect? Because you say you're going to be perfect. I need you to be perfect. You're going to sit here and do your handwriting. I want all these A's to look like A's, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
dude, yeah. Practice.
I keep saying this, and, you know, I don't mind people saying this, but it's about creating championship habits. You know, what kind of habits are you creating? So, as far as the whole Verse thing, and I remember when Merrill Hodge was saying this about Jadeveon Clowney, he was like, you know, this guy been in college for 3 years, and look how he rushed the passer. Like, he was showing how high he was getting while he's rushing. He was saying, these are habits. You got to break these habits, right? So, and people were like, oh, but he's getting double teamed. He was like, okay, you're going to get double teamed in NFL too, okay? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have to work through double teams. Like,
Jones got double teamed all game long.
Right. It's okay, bro. Like, this is
disrupted that whole game.
It's okay. You got people double team. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's your job to get to the quarterback. If you're just an average player, then anything you do, I say, nice job. Oh, he got a pressure. Oh, like, Kalavon Chase signed from the Jaguars. Oh, he got a pressure. That's nice.
Look at look at you out here making plays.
That's cute.
Yeah, that's cute. Yeah, look at you out here, man. All right, that's what's
that's up. That's cute. You know, but
if Fuller does not have verse spine and QB, that is not what I see. Y'all ain't see that. You
know. Yeah. I mean, so you know, people get upset about this stuff, man. But like I tell people, man, it's 100 different FSU podcasts, and they say 100 great things about everybody that's going on. It's the greatest thing of all time. So if that's your cup of tea, I ain't got no problem with you listening to that. But over here, I'm gonna say how I feel about stuff. Like, hey, the great players on the team need to play great in the great moments. That should be the demand. Hey, exactly, Kobe.
There you go. How you do anything is how you do everything. Yep.
I demand greatness in great moments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Cornelius says some of this is on the head coach too. He has to demand Travis to take what's open. And we kind of talked about it. I believe that, again, it's hard for me to believe that Mike is not looking at film with Jordan Travis and saying, hey, Jordan, why you ain't run here? You had 15 yards in front of you. Why'd you throw that? You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. Yeah. So at this point, I believe either it's Jordan Travis is trying to do too much.
Well, He needs to start taking a profit, especially on first and second down.
Yeah.
We got to start taking profits on first and second down.
Get ahead of the chains, man.
The
times we score, we're always ahead of the chains. Usually it's the first down, or you know what I mean? It's something like 9 yards on first. Without everything's open in the playbook, you can get you know what I mean? Like, it just looks different. I'll chat for the chat's funny, man. But yeah, like I'm gonna give Norvell a pass on this one because I don't believe that Norvell is looking at the film and saying, all right, Jordan, you keep doing what you're doing. Like, I think he's looking at this and saying, Jordan, we got what we're doing here, man.
Yeah,
why do we keep doing it this
way? But at this point, you're developing habits though.
Right. And that's why I'm saying that's why I'm saying Jordan gotta play better. Yeah.
In every situation. You know, so they just gotta fix it. You know, but I think the team is good. I think it's a good team.
Definitely.
I want it to be a great team because I think it got potential to be a great team. But, you know, they got to show that, man. You know, you got to show that.
Let's see. Virginia Tech, every game I feel like is like a new game. It's like a new, you know what I mean? We have a whole new way of feeling about this team every time they play. Like, after LSU, I thought, okay, this is what it was. But then after Boston College, it was like, huh, all right. Not sure I understand where y'all at. You know what I mean? And now we're at, you know, and so then you beat Clemson. And it's like, all right, well, Clemson's still good. Clemson's still Clemson. You know, they ain't the old Clemson, but they still got a lot of talent on their team.
Nah,
we saw it. Yeah,
and
we saw it.
And I can tell you right now, dude, Dabo went back to Clemson in that game too, man. I mean, he did some stuff in that game that I was just like, wow.
I heard you in the spaces capping for you, boy.
Yeah,
I heard you in the basis. That's your coach.
One thing about me, I'm gonna call spades. He was terrible situationally yesterday. Terrible situationally.
He was real bad.
Real bad situationally, bro. Like,
yeah,
that was an all-time goofy situation.
Again, why would you call an option route for your quarterback? Why would you call an option route for your quarterback?
Why?
Like,
FSU gets the ball down the field before half, and you know they get the ball back. It's like a minute and 40, minute and 50. Why don't you call a timeout so you can get the ball back and drive back down the field? You're moving the football on Florida State. Instead, you let Florida State get the ball. You let Florida State get it down all the way to 30 something seconds. Florida State scores. You make a run, 30 yards, 20 yards. Like, just hand the ball off, get 20 yards. Don't call a timeout, nothing. Just going to half. And I'm like, did this dude think FSU's not going to score again? But – in his defense, FSU did not score one offensive touchdown in the second half until the overtime.
The show really didn't. Wow, I didn't even realize that.
In his defense.
They scored. They scored on that. They scored in the second half. That first possession of touchdown after halftime?
No.
They scored.
They scored 3 points. They did not score offensive touchdown in the second half. I'm going to look at it right now, but this is a terrible podcast, but I'm going to look this up right now.
While you're looking that up, Dabo, again, calling that option for his quarterback, I thought was crazy. because when I saw it, I was like, okay, it's 4th and 1 or 3rd and 1, 2nd and 1. They're going to get it. You know, they've been getting this 1 yard. They'll put in a big dude.
No, I take that back.
FSU, I thought they scored that right after half.
They did score 7 points.
After half.
Okay, yeah, they did score 7 points. Yeah, I take that back. Clemson did not. Oh, no, Clemson scored 7 points also. Okay, I take that back.
Yeah, they, right, yeah, right. Yeah.
We hit a field goal and had a touchdown. Okay, I take that back.
Yeah, we had a field goal and touchdown.
So, but I just thought it was weird.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But again, like that.
Oh, yeah. No. We did not score. No, we did not score offensive touchdown because the touchdown came off of Caden DeLoach hitting that quarterback and creating a fumble. They did not score offensive touchdown.
We kicked the field goal that made it 17-17. Yeah. DeLoach tied it up at 24, and then we scored in overtime. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he technically he was kind of right, technically. But still,
we didn't play best on offense. I mean, I get it, right? I guess you feel like your defense is playing good. I can understand you trusting that. What I was saying was, going back to that again, it's 2nd and 1. It's 2nd and 1, dog. You throw a bubble screen. I'm confused by that. I'm not even leaving that up to my quarterback. We're calling a dive. We've gotten this yard all game long. I'm calling, like, Shipley just ran for 9. Get the first down. I don't understand why I had to be, like, again, dabble. That's all I got to say.
He dabbled yesterday. I got to give him that. And I was like, I said in the space, I was like, dude, I seen him go toe-to-toe with Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, and some games he out-coached them in to win them national championships, you know. But, man, he had a rough day at the office yesterday.
It was bad. It was pressure, man. Pressure.
And the guy that was in the space, which I'm going to get him on the pod, but
I heard.
We were talking, and I told him, I said, you know, I know people keep saying Clemson need to go get transfers, but I'm like, where do you insert a transfer on that roster that's going to make you so much better? Because nobody's coming to come be a depth player. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like FSU had to go get 17, 18, 20 transfers.
Yeah, they got 5 stars all over that field. Yeah.
Right. So I'm saying even their wide receivers, when I watched the dude Williams and the other guy, those wide receivers, maybe they look bad against Duke because, and this might sound crazy, but maybe Duke got good cornerbacks. Maybe.
Yeah.
I know this is hard for us to kind of conceptualize.
But Duke going to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this narrative that they need to go get transfers, I don't know if this particular team that Clemson had this year or last year's team, I don't know if you could put a transfer on that team and make it, like, unless you go get Keon Coleman or you go get, I can't really think anybody they can go get other than Keon Coleman that was out there.
I think it's about getting the transfers. I think it's about Dabo's stance on it. You know what I mean? I think at this Dabo's rhetoric is what's running.
Well, the rhetoric.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the rhetoric. It's Dabo's rhetoric is what's messing it up. That's what I mean. So
yeah, it might be the rhetoric thing, but I mean personally, I don't know, man. I just think people just like to dunk on coaches and dunk on people that talk. So
yeah, but I agree. Yeah,
but no, man,
North Carolina, Miami is the rest of the 3 games we got to worry about this season.
But we don't play North Carolina. We only will play them if you play them in the championship, right?
I'm expecting to go into the championship. I'm expecting North Carolina to be there.
Mm.
Yeah. Duke, North Carolina, Miami is the 3 games you got to worry about this season. And I'm not even sure. And I'm still not sure on Miami yet because, again, let me see Miami play a team first.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't take some of them. I don't think it's that good. Let me see what it looked like. Let me see what that North Carolina game looked like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like when they actually have a legitimate test, that's when I want to see what Miami looked like before I'm fully say Miami. But I do think Duke is for real. Never thought I'd say those words.
Yeah.
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 You got anything else, man?
I do not.
Hey, man. Listen, this is the Listen Up Podcast. If you have not, hit that like button, rate, review, subscribe, retweet it when you see it. Man, this is the Listen Up Podcast, man. Cornelius say Florida too. Florida just rolled up 22 points against Charlotte, man. Y'all better cut it out. But that was it, man. This is the Listen Up Podcast, man. We out.
Third Listen Up Podcast. Yeah. We'll be right back.
syrup crack. Uncle fronted me some peas, had to get it.